Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series, our guest today on the Not Old Better Show is Dr. Bart Ehrman. Dr. Ehrman is the author of more than 30 books, including the New York Times bestsellers, Misquoting Jesus and How Jesus Became God. Dr. Ehrman is the James A. Gray Distinguished Professor of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Dr. Ehrman is a leading authority on the New Testament and the history of early Christianity. Dr. Ehrman will share stories, research, and details from his new book, The Triumph of Christianity, Its Power, Influence, and Success Politically, Socially, as well as the Arts and many other areas of history, all influenced heavily by the Christian Church.
Throughout the history of Western civilization, the Christian Church has been the most influential institution ever, whether you're talking about the early Middle Ages, the late Middle Ages, the Renaissance, the Reformation, on into modernity. There's been no institution that's had equal power or influence. And it isn't just a historical influence, it's political and social, cultural. Virtually all of the arts, music, literature, and on into philosophy, all influenced heavily by the Christian Church.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Bart Ehrman, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates Program presenting a day-long series about Christianity's Triumph, How Faith Conquered an Empire, Saturday, February 10th, 2018, 9:30 a.m. at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C. The event is sold out, so check our website for details about how to be added to the waiting list. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via Skype, Dr. Bart Ehrman. Dr. Bart Ehrman, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Ehrman, this is a huge subject that you're going to be presenting at the Smithsonian Associates Program, and a fascinating one. Tell us a little bit about your Smithsonian presentation briefly, and what do you hope we'll leave with once the day is over?
The main issue that I want to deal with is how Christianity became such a powerful force in the history of Western civilization, how it grew from such a small beginning with a handful of lower class, uneducated peasants, basically, to become the official religion of the Roman Empire. And so to get to that, I'm going to have four lectures. One will be on the most important convert ever to Christianity, the Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. and about how Paul became a follower of Jesus after being a persecutor, and then was quite active in shaping the theology of Christianity, but also spreading its mission. I'll have another lecture on the second most conversion in early Christianity, the Emperor Constantine, mm-hmm. Who converted to Christianity in the early 4th century. And between those two lectures, there will be lectures on how it is Christians went about spreading themselves and how they managed to convince people and what they were converting people away from in the Roman religions. And so a number of related topics to that.
Well, Dr. Bart Ehrman, I wonder if you would give us just a very brief synopsis of your book, The Triumph of Christianity, How a Forbidden Religion Swept the World.
What this book, The Triumph of Christianity, is about is how Christianity became such a dominant influence. If the New Testament is right, that just a little while after Jesus' death, there were 11 men who believed in his resurrection and a handful of women, then there'd be about 20 people. These were lower class, uneducated day laborers from a rural part of Galilee, remote area of the empire. How did those 20 people multiply themselves so much that within 300 years there were 3 million of them, and then in another 100 years there were 30 million of them? And so that's what the book is about. How did Christianity start from such inauspicious beginnings and become such a dominant force in the West?
Excellent. Well, the big question, we'll dive down into this just a little bit, and we'll leave much for the presentation, I know, but how, and you mentioned this, kind of this small Jewish sect, how did that group of converts convert the mighty pagan Roman Empire? How did that even take place?
Well, it's, yeah, that's, so my book is coming out in a couple of weeks, The Triumph of Christianity, and it takes the entire book to explain that. So it's a complicated matter. But one of the things I argue in the book is that it didn't happen the way most people think. When I talk to people about, you know, why did Christianity succeed, and other religions not, you know, why was it Christianity and not some other religion that took over the Roman Empire? I get all sorts of answers. For example, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, people who are Christians will often say it's because God did it. It was an act of God that Christianity took over. And I completely understand that answer, and I don't have you know, I don't have any real objections to it, but it does seem to me that if God was behind it, that it wouldn't have taken 400 years. Mm-hmm. If it was a miracle, it, you know, could have happened quickly, and it never did happen completely, of course. I mean, there are over 7 billion people in the world today, and only 2 billion are Christian. And so, you know, if it was an act of God, that it seems to me there might be a better explanation. Some people think that it was simply because the Emperor Constantine became a Christian. And once Constantine became a Christian, then the entire empire had to become Christian. I show in my book, and I'll be arguing at the seminar, that's probably not true, that in fact Christianity probably would have taken over even without the conversion of the Emperor Constantine. So what I'm going to argue is that the way it spread was really by word of mouth, and that all you need for Christianity to move from 20 people, say in the year 30, to around, say, 3 or 4 million people 300 years later, all you really need is a conversion rate of about 3 or 4% per decade. So if you've got 100 people this year, you need 3 or 4 people more next year. Mm-hmm. And so Christians are just converting people by word of mouth a little bit at a time. And over time, that ends up becoming millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned your book, The Triumph of Christianity, and it'll be available at the event for purchase and signing. It's received excellent reviews, Dr. Ehrman, and you're known for making what are often a very complex subject accessible, intriguing, and readable. Give us a sense as to what subject in the book was the most complex and required your most intense synthesis and distillation.
Well, I have to say, you know, I wanted to write this book for about 20 years, mm-hmm. and I kept putting it off because it's not just that the book itself is complex, but almost everything in it is complex. but I've tried to make it so it's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for example, one example is I take one chapter where I try to explain what it is pagan religions were all about. And summarizing in one chapter the many thousands of religions of Rome is, you know, how do you explain what these are, you know, and what they have in common with each other, but also emphasizing that they are different religions. That was quite a task, and I actually came away thinking, you know, actually that's just as good as I could have done it.
Good. Well, thank you for that. Well, you mentioned Paul as being Christianity's probably most important convert. Why was Paul so important in this process?
Well, if you just look at the New Testament itself, Paul is certainly the second most important figure of early Christianity next to Jesus himself. In the New Testament, there are 27 books, and 13 of them claim to be written by Paul, so nearly half. One other book, the letter to the Hebrews, was included in the New Testament because church fathers thought Paul wrote it. One other book, the book of Acts, is written about Paul. Several other books clearly show Pauline influence. And so just in terms of the New Testament, it's clear Paul's very important. What I argue in my book, though, is that the real importance of Paul is that he is the one, more than anyone else that we know of, who changed the religion of Christianity away from being a Jewish sect, a group of Jewish followers of Jesus who maintained their Jewishness. He moved it away from that to a religion that was open to non-Jews. Paul argued that a person who believed in Christ did not have to become Jewish. And this was a revolutionary idea that completely transformed Christianity. if Paul had not succeeded in that, Christianity would have remained a sect within Judaism. It would not have taken over the Roman Empire, and it would have had the historical significance of something like the Sadducees. The Sadducees are important for those of us who are historians, but they're not exactly a dominant world religion. Mm-hmm. And Christianity would have been like that if it had not been made into a Gentile faith. And Paul is the one, so far as we know, who is responsible for that.
Well, Dr. Barterman, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you're very busy. I just have one final question. If you could just share with us briefly, this conversion process, it was really very accelerated. It could have been faster, as you suggest. It could have been a miracle. But it was less than 3 decades. What really were the factors behind Christianity's success?
One of the things I argue in the book is that Christians had to make common cause with the people they were trying to convert. Everybody in the ancient world was religious, just about everybody, and they were religious because of the benefits that the divine realm, the gods, could provide for them. Christians argued that their God, the God of Jesus, was more powerful than the other gods, and that he should be worshipped. The thing that made Christians successful, as opposed to these other religions, was a double whammy that was involved with Christianity. One was, unlike the other religions, Christians actually tried to get converts. They actually tried to convert people to their faith. This was virtually unheard of in the ancient world. It wasn't true of Judaism. Judaism wasn't missionary in that way, and no other Roman religion was missionary, but Christians were absolutely committed to trying to convert people to their faith. But it's that in tandem with the second feature of Christianity that really made the difference. Christianity was the only one of these religions that claimed it was right and all the others were wrong. The pagan religions were all polytheistic. They had many gods, and they all thought that if you worship our God, you can continue worshiping your God, and you can add other gods. You can worship as many gods as you like. Christians said, no, if you worship our God, you cannot worship your gods. And so anytime Christianity got a convert, paganism lost somebody. And if you get 1,000 converts to Christianity, paganism loses 1,000 converts. And over 3 centuries, that ends up making a huge difference. And so what I argue is that twofold factor, evangelism and exclusivity, is what ended up leading to the triumph of Christianity.
Just a fascinating subject. Dr. Barterman has joined us today, and we are looking forward to seeing you February 10th at the Smithsonian Associates. Dr. Barterman, thanks so much for your time, and looking forward to reading this book, The Triumph of Christianity.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Yes, me too. My thanks to our guest today, Dr. Barterman, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates program presenting a day-long series on Christianity's Triumph, How Faith Conquered an Empire, Saturday, February 10th, 2018. The event is sold out, and more information is available at our website, including details about how to add your name to the waiting list. My thanks as well to the Smithsonian team for all they do to support our interviews. As usual, we'll post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.